Coffee with Cudmore.
Light 104.7 and 1570 AM. WVTL.
We welcome historian Ken Davis to the program. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Bob. Always a great pleasure to be with you.
Indeed. Ken Davis, author of Don't Know Much About History, New York Times best-selling books about American history. And it's being revised, or what's the latest on your publishing ventures?
Well, Don't Know Much About History, it's hard for me to believe it and harder to say. It came out 20 years ago, so there is a new edition, revised, updated, expanded edition that's in the stores now. We call it the Anniversary Edition. It's amazing. The book got 20 years older, but I didn't.
Very good.
But, you know, Bob, I love to have, we've spoken many times, I like to have fun with history and make history fun, but this day is not about fun, this Memorial Day. This is one of the most somber, solemn days on the national calendar, and we sometimes forget that in the midst of the barbecues and
sure,
the swimsuit
sure.
sales.
Well, it's interesting. I was just trying to think and make sure I don't leave something out, but even though they're completely different times of the year, somehow we confuse in our minds sometimes Memorial Day and Veterans Day and maybe even 4th of July. You know, in some degree, they're all patriotic days, but they're all different.
They are all very different, and that's why I say this one is the most somber and solemn. This is not a happy Memorial Day. Memorial Day was born in 1868 in the aftermath of the Civil War as Decoration Day. It was a day that was literally meant to go and lay fresh flowers on the graves of fallen soldiers, to decorate the graves. And that's what it was known as for a very, very long time. Just to remind you, the Civil War's aftermath, more than 600,000 Americans died in 4 years of fighting. Of course, it began a little over 150 years ago in 1861 and lasted until 1865. That number is astonishing by itself, but it was also 2% of the population at the time. Mm-hmm. We'd be talking about 6 million people dying today. It gives you some sense of the magnitude, and that's why there was no town or village, and if you drive around New England or upstate New York, the smallest town will usually have a Civil War monument because it touched every corner of the country.
Sure. And when it began, it was a northern thing, was it not? I mean, didn't the southern
that's
states
right.
have their...
That's right. It really began, the man who first proclaimed that we should have this day to remember those who fell in defense of a united republic was a Union general. And May 30th, which was the first Decoration Day, or later Memorial Day, the traditional day for it, was chosen because the most flowers would be in bloom in the North at that time. And so many in the South, the former Confederacy, saw this as a Union or Northern holiday and did not celebrate it. It was not a truly national holiday for many, many years. In fact, there were separate Confederate Memorial Days or Decoration Days established, and 7 states, I think, still have a separate Confederate Memorial Day. It just speaks to the tremendous division and anger and the scars that the Civil War left. We sometimes talk about the nation being divided today, but it's nothing to what it was 150 years ago or even 100 years ago when the wounds of that war were still so fresh and deep.
Mm. Now, would the Confederate Memorial Days have been earlier in the year because their flowers bloom earlier? Would that be what they do?
No, they are actually set to specific birthdays. For instance, some states used Robert E. Lee's birthday. Some people used Jefferson Davis's. Some states used Jefferson Davis's birthday. So there were different dates used, but they did tend to fall in the springtime. But it had less to do with flowers being available than with marking those leaders of the Confederacy, especially Lee. I should point out also, since raising the name of Robert E. Lee, many people, of course, see Arlington Cemetery on Monday. This is the great sacred space in America. That land was confiscated from Robert E. Lee during the Civil War, and if you've been there, and I really advise people to go to Arlington at least once if you can visit Washington, D.C. area, the home of Robert E. Lee sits in the middle of Arlington Cemetery, a tremendous irony. The land was confiscated from him after he went over to the Confederate side. It was first used as a Union camp and later turned into a Union cemetery by the quartermaster general whose own son had died in the war, and he thought this was a fitting retribution for Robert E. Lee.
Hmm. What is the history of Memorial Day after the Civil War? You speak of this division between the North and the South. When does it become truly a national holiday?
That's an interesting one, because by the turn of the century, the 20th century, the late 1800s into the early 20th century, Memorial Day had already become a sort of picnic holiday. People had moved past the Civil War, and it was only with World War I and the tremendous losses there, more than 100,000 men dying in the trench fighting in World War I, that the idea of Memorial Day was revived, and that was not going to be just about the Civil War, but a day to honor all those who gave their lives in service to the country. And that's what distinguishes Memorial Day, I have to be clear about this, from Veterans Day. Of course, we honor veterans and those serving today in the military, but this is really about those who died fighting for America, those who gave what Lincoln said was the last full measure of devotion. And it was with World War I expanded to include the dead in all of America's wars from the beginning, right back to the Revolution. And that's when it really became more of a truly national holiday.
Mm. And, we didn't say, but I think people also tend to make it a holiday to remember anyone who's died. Or is that in some way improper?
Well, I wouldn't say it's improper. It's certainly not what the spirit of the holiday originally was and how it was born. But what happened, is that as people were going out to the cemeteries to decorate the graves of fallen soldiers, they would usually decorate the graves of anyone in the family. And in the late 19th century, it's interesting, cemeteries became almost more like parks. The idea that a cemetery was, you know, just a place on the edge of town. Cemeteries became very ornate and designed and ornamented, and people would actually go on Memorial Day and not only put fresh flowers down to decorate the graves, mm-hmm. but bring a picnic.
Sure.
And that's, in a sense, how this became a picnic holiday. People going to the cemetery to have their picnic. So it's an interesting evolution of the day. And certainly many people obviously still mark the graves of anyone. It's not that it's improper to do it. It's just that it's not what the holiday actually means.
But if
this
I can
is
just
really meant to celebrate and commemorate those who died serving the country.
But if I could get my orient about our area, I mean, that what you mentioned about the cemeteries, you know, certainly it's probably true all over the country, but and then they call it the rural cemetery movement. We have here in Amsterdam Green Hill Cemetery, which is developed, I think, primarily after the Civil War, maybe somewhat before it. You know, it's a park-like area in Schenectady. We have Vail Cemetery. Albany has Albany Rural Cemetery. And I remember when I was a kid, we picnicked at the cemetery. We went up to Fairview, which is where a lot of my relatives are buried.
Yes, and in New York City, there's the famous cemetery in Brooklyn, and with elaborate statues and monuments built to people. This was at the era when Central Park was being built, and Frederick Law Olmsted, who designed Central Park, designed many of the famous cemeteries. Include this one outside of Boston, for instance. It's very, very well known, and people would go and stroll through the cemeteries as if it was a park. So it's a very different, you know, attitude perhaps about a cemetery as not just a place of death, but a place to go and celebrate. So that was a very, very different change. Now, I'm here in southern Vermont, where the cemetery in the town dates to pre-revolutionary days, and we have a wonderful little ceremony here where people go march. There are people there, buried there from the revolutionary era. And it's not that, you know, it's really those old Vermont headstones, marble headstones, not a park-like setting, but still very, very moving on Memorial Day to be part of that ceremony.
But, again, we're talking with Ken Davis, author of Don't Know Much About History. So the Memorial Day originates after the Civil War, first a northern holiday, and then as time goes on, it becomes more the whole country, and it gets kind of added importance with all the deaths of World War I. Also World War II? Is that...
Of course, as with each successive war, and of course there was no major fighting between World War I and World War II. Of course, people thought World War I was the war to end all wars, and we know that didn't last very long. So the tradition certainly continued. But it's after World War I that the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier is first built, and it since, of course, was added to become the Tomb of the Unknowns. There is now a soldier from World War I, World War II, and Korea. A soldier from Vietnam had been interred there. His remains were later identified and removed at his family's request. But the Tomb of the Unknowns is certainly a part of that tradition, as is the tradition which came about after the Korean War of the Old Guard, the army from the Washington area, going and placing a flag at each grave site, each headstone, each memorial in Arlington. It's very moving if you've never seen it. And of course, mostly, I don't know if the president is planning to be on Arlington yet on Monday. I haven't checked the schedule, but it's a very, very moving ceremony. Very quiet, very solemn, very somber. That's certainly another good way to just mark this day. Just watch the ceremony of the wreath laying at the Tomb of the Unknowns.
But I would say that after World War II and then the subsequent wars, but as you know, as America becomes bigger, as it becomes more diverse, it becomes more mobile, I would think Memorial Day has become even more a pleasure weekend, especially since, at least here in the northern climes, it's seen as ushering in the summer season.
There's no question about it that that's all you hear in the weeks leading up to Memorial Day for the most part is the kickoff to the summer season. You can see it in the advertising, the swimsuit sales, for some reason mattress sales. I don't know how that got connected to Memorial Day, but it's unfortunate. But, you know, I think that's one of the reasons I spend a good week, including the day like today, talking to radio stations around the country, talking to as many people as I can to remind them of what this holiday is about. We aren't very good at history, but we should really understand the history of this holiday. Just one other quick point, I think, to what you're saying. Part of it is that the attitudes towards Memorial Day suffered and changed a little bit during Vietnam. You know, a very unpopular war, and the unpopularity of the war spilled over to how many Americans viewed the troops, how they viewed the military. And it took a long time, I think, to move past that. It may have been as late as when the Gulf War came about in 1991, that people began to change their attitudes to a degree about the military. I think it changed even more after 9/11. And nowadays, I think people are much more able to separate their feelings about the men and women serving in the military and making those sacrifices, whether they agree with the policy or not. We're not standing up and doing atrocious things to the young men and women coming back from the war, as was done during Vietnam. That was a sad time in our history. No matter how you felt about the war, the way a lot of the troops were treated when they came back was a shameful episode and a sad episode.
Ken Davis, I thank you, unless there's something else you wanted to mention about Memorial Day.
No, it's always just a great pleasure, as I said, to talk about this. I like to have fun with history, and we certainly can, but this is one that's not so much fun, but it is important to remember. If you do nothing else this weekend or on Monday, just take a few minutes to read the Gettysburg Address and read about the last full measure of devotion.
Ken Davis, author of the newly revised Don't Know Much About History, New York Times bestseller. Thanks very much. Have a good day.
Thank you, Bob. Take care. Enjoy the weekend.
You too.